going on, everybody? This is a very, 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 very special episode. Matter of fact, it's not even an episode of Movies on a Monday. It's not an episode of TV Guys. It's an episode of Mondays with TV. I'm Terrence.
I'm Matt.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Steven.
Oh, gosh. At first, I was like, wait, Steven.
Steven Grant, thanks for having me here, guys. Really appreciate it. Well, introducing my friend Mark. He's not here right now, but he'll be here shortly.
Okay, for real, number one, that was a good, like, Steve impression. I'm actually pretty impressed. But number two, if you would have pulled off Mark, I would have been like, Matt, you are in the wrong career field, okay?
I haven't even tried. I won't try it in public in front of people just to see. But I love doing impressions. It's fun. Hey, Brian, I got something fun for you.
Okay.
So our main character, Mark, what's his last name?
Yeah, he's got one.
Spectre.
Yes.
And the moon is where? In outer
space.
Our main hero is Space Ghost. That's right. That's who we're following. Ghost, hero of Moon Knight.
Oh, I'm behind it. I've been watching some Space Ghost lately.
This is where we're starting, huh? This is the starting point, right?
Well, we're clearly talking about Moon Knight. You know, and for everyone out there, this is going to have all the spoilers, everything about Moon Knight. So, I mean, if you don't want that show to get spoiled, turn it off now. I don't know why you even clicked in the first place. But yeah, let's talk about Eternal Moonshine of the Broken Mind. Let's go.
Wow. Wow. All right. Well, here's my thing. That show was boring. It was probably the most boring MCU show I have ever seen.
I fell asleep in almost every episode.
I did too. I literally was like, okay, I have to watch this. I watched it out of duty and not out of love, okay? That's why I watched that show. It was pretty non-impressive.
So if you watch the show, I rewatched it again this week. If you watch this show, and people out there, you can probably track along, there's 6 episodes. It kind of ends up being like 2 episodes per arc. Like the first 2 episodes is really like your understanding and there's the mystery of what's going on and you're kind of figuring out things from Steven's point of view. And by the end of episode 2, when he's in Cairo, you're like, okay, I get what this show is about. And then episodes 3 and 4, those to me, that's the arc that stunk, because that's the we're traveling through Egypt, figuring out stuff. And I'm like, this isn't interesting enough to be as good. But then it picked up again once they get to the asylum in the last 2 episodes when he dies, and episode 5 and 6 are its own arc. And so I liked arc 1 and I liked arc 3, but I can see where arc 2 wasn't as strong.
For me, it started off where I was like, okay, I'm interested. And the only reason why I kept watching was because I was hoping it was going to get better. I was hoping it was going to connect to the greater MCU. It's like, it was kind of like, all right, this is kind of cool. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with, now I'm for Steven, there we go, with Steven. And I'm like, I'm kind of not liking his character. And that kind of like threw me off from the get-go. I'm like, but I know he's going to switch characters somewhere. And I think the whole switching aspect of when you first get the experience him switching between, I like that intrigue. That was interesting to me. And matter of fact, if you guys follow TikTok, people made some pretty funny TikToks with that trend. Have you guys seen those trends?
I haven't.
I'm not on TikTok. We're not cool. We don't like teen drama. Like, no, you love teen drama. Let me see teens whine about their teen life their teen problems.
I love to see students come to the Lord. That's all. I just love to see students that are struggling and be like, hey, man, you need Jesus. I just love students. So I try to keep up with them. And
that's good. I would hope that someday you can see that happen for yourself instead of just hearing about it from other better evangelists.
What is going on there?
That's what you get. That's what you get, guys. Before the episode, Terrence just kind of inferred that because of my choice of movies and TV, I was a little racist, and I didn't take too kindly to that talk.
I joined the Zoom meeting and they were already having this argument and like going off, and I just kind of kept quiet. Like, I just want to hear this.
Like, wait, is Matt racist? I never thought of this.
No, I've been thinking a lot about it. And see, now we're going off a whole Moon Knight, okay? All I'm saying is for this show, I think what, and if you guys want to hear Matt and I talk more about this whole racism thing, tune on Movies on a Monday. We'll get into it, I'm sure. But I think the most interesting part, because on TikTok, they did this trend where, like, you know, you have the music playing every single time he's about to, like, transition between two different characters. I don't even know what song they use. Anybody remember the song?
I felt like it was more maybe a sound effect. I didn't recognize any sound cue, but there could have been one.
Yeah, and it goes, and it changes. So, like, there's one on there where the dad, he's looking at his kids, and the kid, he's like, hey, can you take out the garbage? And the kid's like, no, you take it out. And then all of a sudden it's, and he transitions. And next thing you know, he opens up his eyes and the kid's on the ground and he's dead. And it's like, see, that kind of trend, it was funny. But you got to watch. Go to TikTok, watch.
Don't you hate when you get to the end of a story and then you realize this was a, you had to be there one? You're like, ah, crap.
You get kind of no reaction. It's like, all right, well, anywho, I think that's the one thing that made the show interesting, was it kept that. But the minute that was taken away and there was no more intrigue between Steven and Mark, it was just like, okay, we're just basically the odd couple in one body. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started to lose interest. And I was like, all right, that's fine.
But did it not pick up? Because I felt like it picked up again at the asylum. Like, that was interesting, especially the episode where they're going into all the memories. Like, that was really a heart-wrenching episode. Yes. And I felt that was, like, really well done, in my opinion, of, okay, we're really going to tackle actual PTSD trauma tragedies that would be powerful enough to create a psychotic break. And we're going to go into that and look at what that did and how to reconcile. I'm like, that's great theming. I was a big fan of it. And Oscar Isaac sold it really well, too.
See, I didn't catch until that episode that they were actually the same person. For some reason, I thought there was two different characters. That somehow, like, Mark got into Steven's body. But then when they're seeing Mark's memories and Steven's like, oh, those are my parents. I'm like, wait, I was really confused until the end when he, like, had the, like, psychotic break and, like, turned into Steven.
See, I'm glad you said that, because I think for Matt and I, we already kind of know, it's like, you know, following along with Marvel stuff. And it's like, you kind of just know. I never looked at it from that perspective. Like, you didn't know that they were the same person. Like, that didn't, but.
Remember, like, I'm not a Marvel Comics person. I didn't even get into the movie. We talked this before. I didn't get into the movies until way later into the movies. So it's like, you guys have all the comic knowledge, whereas I'm like the newbie for Marvel.
I could see that, because there's, in the MCU, there's such a thing as the mirror dimension, and the way that they present it early on is like he can only through reflection see that other character. Yeah. And so it's like, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never thought about that. That's,
neither
yeah.
did I. But I will have to say, man, the sheer convenience of mirrors in this world.
Oh,
like, yeah. Your storage locker is going to be buffed down so well that you can see your reflection in this grungy steel.
Oh, okay. Well, and I love, once again, I probably have already said this, but I love, at least with the shows, how they have made it really intimate. Where it's not just like, this person's trying to take over the world, but they've made these real intimate stories where they're looking at different aspects of people's lives. And so I think you're right. I honestly think that was the strongest episodes right there, when you actually, like, when you see him, like, deal with his mom and he's trying to, like protect himself. And it was like, wow, that was, if the show was like that, if they would have kept it, like, more personal, more intimately, like, don't even, I think the bad guy was so weak. That villain was just terrible.
I think he was well acted. I was gonna coming into this, I was like, Ethan Hawke did such a good job. And I'm not, like, a big Ethan Hawke fan. I really don't really like the stuff that he picks to do, but I thought he just did really good in this role. even though now that you say, I'm like, yeah, I guess the role itself isn't super captivating. He just did well with it.
Yeah, I would agree. Ethan Hawke is a great actor, and he worked with what he had. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he was a good villain.
Yeah.
What do you think, Brian?
He kind of said he was good in a lot of scenes, but he's not a villain that I could see coming back. He's not like Loki level villain of like, he's like a great villain.
I actually think I liked his villainous side in the asylum more than actually in person. Because at least that one, you know, he's like, he's got that side of him. It's like, oh, he's saying all the right things and he's actually being nice. Go ahead.
So when he's being like the doctor, is that him messing with him, or is that the Mark C like, interpreting it in his mind, or was Ethan Hawke's character actually doing that?
I believe it was in Mark's mind. I think everything you see in the asylum all takes place in his mind, because really that is, in a way, it's almost purgatory if you view it that way, because he dies. He actually does die. And that's why the hippo is there, because she's that goddess of death or whatever for Egyptian.
But then the hippo was real, because the hippo later in took over the girlfriend's body.
Yes.
Which
I remember her name totally. She wasn't a forgettable character.
Layla. There we go.
Layla, thank you.
Oh, nice. You remembered.
Okay. Matt, I have to do this again. I know you hated this. I texted Matt an observation I made, and Matt's comment was, I don't like this.
Oh, geez.
So the scene when like the alligator god, is it Ahmet, was growing giant because all the souls were entering his body.
Yes.
That's exactly what Scrappy Doo did in the live action Scooby Doo movie. He stole the souls and then he got giant. So it's like, and I had just watched that movie earlier today, so I'm like, I just saw this, and it's like the same imagery too.
Did you rewatch it because of our 2002 episode? Because I know that you listened to it.
Yep, I watched both the Scooby Doo movies back to back, and then I watched Moon Knight.
Terrence, this is the influence we have, the power we have.
that's some weird TV watching right there. I don't know how you put those three things together. That's crazy.
We did now, this.
Now, here's my beef with a lot of these Marvel shows. And Moon Knight, I was hoping it didn't fall into the same category, but it did. And it's the ending. And the endings look so cheap. And I understand these shows are probably so expensive to do, but I thought at the end of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I thought that ending, as much as I liked the show, I was like, the ending felt a little cheap. I felt like his outfit was a little cheap, and like they really tried to wrap it up real fast. I even feel like that with WandaVision, it just got a little cheaper near the ending.
I felt like WandaVision was one of the exceptions, because I thought like that hex all around the town, I thought that still held strong.
I don't know. I guess I could be persuaded either way. I just felt like it was TV. It really did look like low-grade TV. It looked like a CW show of like The Flash or something like that. That's what it reminded me of.
You know what it reminds me of, CW shows?
Oh,
Miss Marvel. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. If you're out there right now and you're listening, tell me. Miss Marvel is one of the most creative, but I have learned so much more about Muslim culture through this show. I'm just like in awe of this show. I think this show is.
That's not the discussion. The discussion is it's a teen drama. And teen dramas are so boring. Like Stranger Things is the only one that does it well. Even then, Stranger Things has its moments where it's like, all right, this is a little too teeny for me.
What? Brian, what's a good teen drama that you've seen?
Well, I don't know. It's probably a battle, because I like things like Boy Meets World and the Gilmore Girls.
I'm going to be honest. I haven't watched the Gilmore Girls. I've only seen a couple episodes.
What is the show name again?
Squirrels.
Coral.
I don't like it.
Gilmore Squirrels. You heard it.
If there's some black girls up in there, it'd be the Gilmore Gals, but but they don't got that in that show.
I love it. I like that.
The only black person they have in that show is a gay Frenchman.
And they're like, you need to cover all of that diversity all at once. You take like three things.
No, they had the Kims. They had Korean people.
They did have. Yeah, they did.
I am okay with any type of show as long as it's good. Ms. Marvel, we will tackle that show one day when we see the fullness of what that show is. I think it's going to be one of the better MCU shows. But
I will give a disclaimer. It is only episode 2. So there is a shot for it to go another spot, because I liked half of episode 1. Like I said, the stuff with the Avengers and like hearing that Scott Lang has a podcast and stuff like that. I like jokes like that. I like the like showing what happened at Endgame right away in the art style. There's things about it that are good, but like any of her relationship stuff with her family, any of like her personal things, I'm not connecting with, and I don't care.
Oh man. Oh man. Yeah, Brian, don't listen to him. Okay.
I almost watched it today, but I chose to get caught up on Kenobi first.
There you go.
Kenobi. I'll be honest, I have not watched. I'm not a Star Wars guy, but Kenobi does look really good. I will say that.
It's solid. I think you'd like it obviously more if you were a Star Wars guy, but I think you'll like it enough regardless, would be my guess. To me, it's not like blows me away, but I've heard some other people are like, oh my gosh, it's so good. I'm like, all right, cool. Good. I'm glad right. You love it.
So I actually have a question about Moon Knight.
Oh, is that what we're talking about?
Supposedly. Okay. So what happened at the end? Like at the end, all of a sudden he woke up chained to his bed again with the same song again. Is it just like a big circle?
No, he has another personality that they didn't showcase.
That's the after credit scene, but the getting at the very end after the fight. Okay, you know what? You're probably going into it anyway. Never mind. I'm sorry, Terrence. I was about to cut you off, and you're gonna hit it anyway.
No, sorry, I got thrown off by the message on here. But yeah, you're right. Matt's totally right. It's one of those things where like everything sort of got wrapped up. But there's a whole nother side of Moon Knight that we didn't see, not just personality wise. And this is why I think they could have chosen a better villain, just because there's a lot more that goes into who Moon Knight is. And so I feel like they were just trying to like, I feel like they're trying to save the good stuff for later on in the movies, because in the movies, or I don't know, they haven't made a Moon Knight movie, but the villains are a little bit more complicated. It's a little bit more Batman-esque as far as the rogue gallery is concerned.
And he's a lot more violent. Like, you saw flashes of it. It hid the worst stuff that Mark did, and then it definitely hid the worst stuff that this other character, Jake Lockley, another personality inside of him, did. And Jake Lockley is like, you think Mark is brutal? Jake Lockley is to the extreme. And so... And that weird thing for me, I did expect for them to be more violent in this show, and they censored themselves. And I'm like, this is an odd compromise that they've chosen. I don't know if I specifically like it or hate it, but it definitely was an odd choice, because I went into this to be like, okay, well, they just added the R-rated catalog from Netflix to Disney Plus. They're preparing. They've got a Deadpool confirmed rated R coming soon. So is this going to be our walking into a more PG-13 or more R version of Marvel? And it didn't.
No, it did not. But yeah, I think, Brian, I'm just trying to go through, kind of see it through your eyes.
Yeah.
And it would be a lot of confusion mm-hmm. coming to the end.
So the third person, Jake, was there a point where like neither Mark or Steven was like, I didn't beat these people up. Was that Jake then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was also in the asylum. You remember there was like that third sarcophagus that both of them, because like Mark, I think it was Mark, but no, maybe it was Steven that busted out of the sarcophagus. And it's like, oh, we reconnected again. Great. But then there is another one, and there mm-hmm. was another personality in there. And they both were like, what is this? And they didn't like go near it. That, okay. I think it was implying that that was Jake.
Yeah. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And I feel like one of the bigger things that was missing as well is, once again, and I probably already said this, but the connection with all the other MCU stuff, like, there was zero to none. Like, I remember.
There was one reference that I caught, I didn't catch any other Easter eggs, but they made a reference to the astral plane or the ancestral plane from Black Panther. And I'm like, oh, finally, there's one reference to something else in the MCU. And I'm like, what? This is such a standalone film or TV show. It was crazy to me.
Well, and here's my thing about Marvel going forward, whether it be their movies or their shows, is you have to make a connection to the everything else. You can't continue to use these characters that are like way non-mainstream. We're talking like way on the sideline characters, and bring them in, but not connect them to something that's already happened or to other characters. I just think it really does not help, because a lot of these characters, there's a reason why they are sidelined, and everybody wants to go back to, well, they did that with Iron Man and Captain America. And it's like, no, they were only like B characters just because they weren't the X-Men at the time. That's the only reason. Yeah. But to all us other comic fans, we're like, no, it's bad. What are you talking about?
It's funny to see all of these properties in MCU following Thanos that give argument of like, oh, this is where we were during Endgame. Like the Eternals, like, we've decided we're only going to interfere when deviants are involved. Or this one with the Egyptian gods, like, we decided long ago we won't interfere in the ways of man. It's just like, how many things are going to have to be like, I want one time for them to do an MCU show where there's like something that's been there forever and be like, dude, I just didn't give a crap.
I didn't care.
It was my day off.
I didn't get snapped, so whatever. I just feel like Moon Knight, there was no big connection issue for me. I did not like the villain of this. I felt like the ending, that special, come on, you can't tell me that ending fight wasn't cheap, where you just see the guy just slow motion, and then he hits him, and then he falls down on the pyramid. He fell down on a pyramid. Now, yes, I don't, and Brian, yeah,
like giant nipple.
I don't know, if tell me what you think. But was it confusing between the things that people saw and what they couldn't see?
Yeah. I was like, it seemed like they were playing fast and loose with the rules.
Yes. And I wanted to know, just because I knew and I just thought it was lame, but I was like, maybe actually people don't know that there is, like, so that makes me feel good that it was confusing. And that's just another thing where I'm just like, it was just bad. The ending, bad.
I have to say, like, I wish we could have gotten, I understand what they did, but I wish we still could have gotten a little bit more action. Although it worked really well in the first episode, especially the car chase scene. Like when it kept like jumping forward, I thought that was, and then he throws the gun and Khonshu's like, did he just throw the gun? There is some really good parts of how they use it, but then in the final fight, and they do that, and you're like, so all that I got for action in this final episode was a giant kaiju fight? And I've never, I'm so sorry. I know there's Godzilla fans out there. I know there, someone I know who listens to us talks all the time about how much he loved Rampage. I'm like, great. But I don't like any, like, supersized Pacific Rim, anything like that. It's not my sort of movie. And so when you've got that as the final conflict, and then you, like there was a really cool, even just like a one shot when in the third or fourth episode, when he, like, Moon Knight's on top of that glass pyramid thing, and he jumps and his cape does like the moon insignia, then he lands, he kicks all those guys' butt, and then he switches to Jake Locke, or no, he switches to Steven, and Steven's like, I got this, and he gets stabbed. He's like, oh, take the body back. Like, all of that stuff, that was a fun action sequence. I wanted to see more of that, and instead we got kaiju, so I'll take a point off for that.
Now, just so everybody knows, at the beginning of this, they were making fun of me because they made some Power Ranger reference, which is all about kaijus and all that jazz. And I didn't know, because I don't keep up with the Power Rangers. But now Matt's all like, I hate kaijus. Matt, you just watched how many seasons of Power Rangers and you don't like kaiju?
No, I haven't watched that much Power Rangers. I watched it as a kid. And as a kid, I was like, oh, cool. Giant thing fight giant thing. Me gusta. But then... I grew up and I was just like, and I don't to belittle people who like that, but it just isn't my sort of thing. And I grew out of it after like 10 or 11.
Well, I was out of it. And then I started listening to a Power Rangers podcast that reviews it and calls it out for when it's being dumb and stuff. So I've actually watched an episode of Power Rangers a week to listen to the podcast every day for 8 years. Not every day, every week for 8 years.
Oh. So way to attack him, Terrence.
No, I'm not the one who said I don't like kaiju. Okay. I will admit I'm not the biggest fan of them, but it's not because I grew out of them when I was 10. Okay. I just never like all about it. So I'm not making fun of anybody. Okay.
Right. Hey, Terrence, why don't you tell us why Brian is racist because he likes kaiju fighting? Why don't you tell us that?
No.
Oh my goodness. Brian loves the culture, okay? He's all about Asian culture. Isn't that right, Brian?
Oh, yep. All about it.
Oh my gosh. Like, Japanese culture gets a little weird. Even people in Japan, they'll admit that. Like, when you have the amount of tentacles that they do in TV shows and movies, I'm like, all right. Yeah. You've got one too many tentacles. You need to have nine tentacles, and that's it.
Did you say nine tentacles?
Yeah, nine tentacles, because they had one too many tentacles.
You can never have too many tickles. But
I like this conversation.
That's going to be the only, that's it. That's all we're putting in the description for this episode. Quote unquote, you can never have too many tickles. That's it.
No, I think what Disney is doing right now, and this is probably all across the board, is they are trying to be more diverse. I do appreciate that. It's really interesting what you can see, and this is not just you, Matt, and I was kind of joking at the beginning, and I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. I did not mean to hurt your feelings, Matt. But it is really telling. The things that people are starting to pick up and not like about certain shows, and they do, and I was reading an article about this, a lot of it that people don't realize is the diversity factor in it, is that they can't see themselves in that show. And it's like, well, you can't see yourself in it because you're not used to not seeing yourself in a show. And it's like, for me, I can watch a Miss Marvel episode and feel totally know how to connect with it, know how to get it. Cause it's like, yeah, I have to do this for the past umpteen years, 30 years. So I'm like, I can find a way to connect with it, or any other show for that matter. And
but
so
I don't buy in. Like, sure, there are people that are that way, but I don't buy into that overall, because I mean, I can see myself in a fish named Marlin. I can see myself in Miguel from Coco. I can see, like, as a dad, like I can relate with Marlin from Finding Nemo is what I'm saying. It's like, there's a lot of things on a lot of media out there that I'm like, yeah, I can relate with this character. But then there are things like, I can't relate with Ms. Marvel. I can relate to, okay, I've gotten embarrassed by my parents before. I just don't. It's been so long since I've been in that mode of like, mom, dad, you're squishing me to the point that it's like, I view that almost as annoying, especially as a parent now myself. Like, I'll empathize more with the parents than I will with Kamala.
Well, and that's, I think if you really think about it. So for you, Matt and Brian, I apologize. This is taking a whole nother turn, Brian.
Pretty much.
They were like, there's not enough Moon Knight in the episode about Moon Knight.
But think about it this way. If it's not animated, what is another diverse cast movie that you connect with?
I mean, I brought up Dune beforehand, and I don't know how much I personally connect with Dune in that way. Like, I like the father son stuff, because to me that's a big connector, is father son sort of thing, because that's timeless. That transcends races, that transcends, I was gonna say genders, but if it's father son, that doesn't really transcend genders, that just transcends races. Races. So
but even in that, it's an easy like gateway for you. Because we know Oscar Isaac's background, what we learned today, he's from Guatemala.
I was way off when we guessed beforehand.
But he also has his, the main person is his white son. So it's easy to assume in your mind, like, okay, his dad, yeah, he could be white for this because his son is white. I mean, this is what he does. But yes, is there some diversity in that movie? Absolutely. Dune, yes.
Well, we brought up Crazy Rich Asians. And again, that was another one. That's a movie I can relate with a lot. Like, I know a love story and I can relate to a love story. And I can especially relate to, like, not that I don't fit in with my wife's family or anything like that, but I can relate to feeling like you don't fit in and feeling like you're not enough for the person that you love. That easily.
But see, then we're talking about Miss Marvel. It's not just about her appearance. It's like, where do I fit in as far as my culture goes? When am I not being who I'm supposed to be?
And I felt like Coco did that better. Coco had that same idea.
Animated.
And did it better.
That it's
yeah, but still, it doesn't matter if it's animated or not. It still did it better.
Easy to swallow.
I'm talking about writing here. You're talking about visuals. I'm talking about writing.
By the way, our TV guys listeners can listen to us talk about animated shows next week.
That's true. We're talking about Nickelodeon shows, baby.
Animated Nickelodeon shows? So we're talking about Hey Arnold?
Yep.
I'm trying to think of...
I watched the first episode of 8 different Nicktoons yesterday.
Ooh, which ones? So, see, no, I'm not going to ruin your guys' show because I could totally... I love Nickelodeon animated shows. My favorite, okay, I'm just going to throw this out there. This is how old school Terrence is. I remember the first episode of Rugrats, okay?
That's one of them. That was one of them.
That show was so good.
Yep.
And they didn't even have a black baby on there until like 3-4 seasons later, but it was just good. Okay?
But she was also like the most sensible one out of all of them.
I know. It's just like, what's wrong with you white babies? Like,
fun fact, Terrence said that right away at the beginning of this episode.
And like, the Wild Thornberrys is about a family living in Africa, and it's still a family of white people. Yeah, Tim Curry as the dad.
You're from Africa, but why are you white? Oh my God, Karen, you can't just ask someone why they're white.
Oh my goodness. But once again, I think Marvel is trying to not only make their stories smaller, but they're also trying to make it more diverse. And when it comes to Moon Knight, I don't feel like they made the story small enough. I think you could have a whole show about him dealing, like, at least for me, when we started, I already knew, okay, there are going to be two different personalities in him. I want to see more of a struggle with that. Is because they presented the show beforehand about, is this real? Is he really seeing what he's seeing? What's going on? And I didn't feel that way at all. I was just like, okay, he's blacking out because he's going to be this other character.
Yeah, I think that they wanted to do that and like kind of had their cake and eat it too, but it didn't quite blend where they wanted to do a little bit of the mystery. Are you crazy? Are you, well, I mean, you know, he had a psychotic break, but are you like, you know, are you making this all up in your head versus is this really happening? And like, where's the line there versus the action show? Like they were balancing a lot of different things. And there were some parts, like I said, that I thought that they did really well, but I'll admit easily that they didn't nail everything that they attempted.
Brian, you've been quiet. What are you thinking?
I don't know. I don't have as much to talk about with this topic.
Not even racism, but not nothing.
Yes, Brian, as a white guy, how do you feel? No, hey, you are in the minority though. As a redhead, you are in a dying breed.
Yeah, are they dying though?
I've heard models, like, not models like supermodels, but I've heard like statistical models presented that like we wouldn't have redheads by the year 2050 or something like that.
What? Does that mean I'm gonna die?
No, I mean new redheads, like children of men, sort of situation.
Except for, you know what? I believe that redheads are the first mutants. You guys have mutant powers.
Brian, he just called you in the nicest way. He called you a mutant.
No, this is coming from a fan of the X-Men. This is coming from someone who is in awe of your superhuman abilities to not be affected by pain. That's incredible. How that scientifically all works, I don't know.
I don't know either. It's weird.
Yeah.
Would you say you have a high pain tolerance?
Yeah, actually, yeah, kind of, yeah.
That's true. He's had to live his entire life looking the way he does and go out into public every single day.
Huge you see what this guy's doing, bro? he's going personally attacking each and every one of us.
It's all, I'm used to it from Matt at this point.
That's true. I've told this joke, I've told this anecdote on TV Guys before, but obviously not on Movies on a Monday because I have no reason to. But there was one time when Brian and I were in college, and we had like this dress up like Halloween party, and we did like a murder mystery type thing that night. Oh, and yeah, I came as Groucho Marx. Like, we were given our roles ahead of time. So I came as Groucho Marx, and I was like, people had the intention I was going to act like him and be like kind of a roaster and like quippy and all that sort of stuff. Oh, Brian over here is like John Wayne, and he shows up. And Brian like decides he's going to instigate my like roasting. And so he just starts taking shots at me all through the night. And I was so caught off guard. I had nothing to say back to him. I didn't have any quippy comments, no witticism. I'm just like, what is happening?
You're taking my role. What are you doing?
And they were good. I felt like he had been working on them or something because they were good insults. I'm like, wow, that's I need to write this down.
I'm unprepared by your professionalism. I feel like I'm trying to like bring this back as much as possible because there's a lot here to unpack right now.
There is.
But all in all, I'm not a fan of Moon Knight, but at the same time, I don't know if you guys saw the Black Adam trailer came out. If you guys saw that, did you see that?
No, I didn't.
I didn't. I'm going to wait until I see White Adam first.
See, I'm trying.
All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Tell us about The Rock. Tell us how much you love The Rock.
Well, and this is why for Marvel, I don't know how they are so, so good at picking their actors. Because even though I'm not a fan of the Moon Knight show, I am excited to see Oscar Isaac's play off of other people with his Moon Knight character. Great. Yeah. Now, I saw the Black Adam trailer with the Dwayne Johnson. He's not The Rock. You can't put that in his name anymore. He's just Dwayne Johnson. The worst actor's name ever. Who's your favorite star? Oh, Dwayne Johnson. What is that?
It's I love how you hard hit that W. Dwayne.
Dwayne.
It's not one syllable. It's two.
But it's just him playing a comic book character. It's not even him playing Black Adam. It's just him playing a comic book character. And when you like read some of the things that all the actors want to have, like, for instance, I think with Tom Cruise, there's part of his contract where they have to let him do some of his stunts and they have to pay for him to learn how to do certain stunts and all that. Like, he has that in his contract. And The Rock's contract, I ain't calling him Dwayne Johnson. I'm calling him The Rock. That's what he is. And
Matt, The Rock's contract. You can't contract, call him The Rock, but I can.
He, number one, no animals can be killed in his movies. No animals. And number two, he can't lose a fight.
Really?
And yeah. So already.
What about the one where he was like that sheriff and like they left him, like they beat him up and left him on the bridge?
Remember what about that one? That was before he became Dwayne Johnson.
Okay. So this was a retroactive after. Okay.
Yeah. And so even watching that and knowing that, I'm like, okay, it's Black Adam. He's not going to lose. It's The Rock. He's just going to say some rock things, give his eyebrows, and then be done.
I think The Rock had to be in the jungle at some point in all his movies.
Yeah, I think he is actually in this movie. But with Marvel, you don't see actors like that. When I see Oscar Isaac, there's a couple. He died. He got shot. It's like, it doesn't get more defeating than that. He saw death and he fell over. We saw him die.
Yep.
And so the range of the actors that they've picked, I think they do really, really good at. And that's the thing that holds their shows together really well. I would say, moving forward with all the different shows that we've watched, they have been really well acted.
They're also not afraid to cast new talent. I mean, Chris Hemsworth now is a household name. Right. When they casted him for Thor, he was just the guy from the first 10 minutes of the Star Trek movie. And like Chris Evans, he had been in plenty before. He wasn't like a no-name actor for sure. But being cast as Captain America resurrected his career. He went from B-list to A-list. Easy.
Yes.
So, and then, of course, now like we see we see plenty of actors. I was like, I've never seen them in anything before. Tom Holland got his start. Now Kamala, whoever's, whatever actress that is. And
think about Chris Evans. You know what's a dumb like early 2000s teen movie? You ever heard of The Perfect Score?
It's about
these kids trying to break in to get the score, to like get the SAT answer sheet. So Chris Evans is in it, and so is Scarlett Johansson before either of them were in Marvel.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
True story.
Well, and if you guys have not seen, they think they found out who has been cast as Johnny Storm and the Invisible Woman, and it is two no-name actors. They've done like some little things here and there, but the reason why people have found this now, if you guys want to know any like TV news, movie news, you will hear all the trades and all the people be like, "Oh, this just leaked," and those are never like, maybe sometimes they could be 75% real. You're like, okay, where's your source on this? But the number one place, if you really want to know if something's true, go to IDBM. IMDb.
Yep.
Go there. Because the only people that can edit that is actually actors, directors, and producers. Like, they are the only people. So if it's on there, it's on there because it's official. Mm-hmm. And so somebody looked at the Marvel list and they saw them on there.
Not true. You know who IMDb told me was going to be playing Captain William Shatner's role in Star Trek? Speaking of that, Matt Damon. They had him listed on IMDb for a while.
Yes, because I don't know if you know this, because he actually was going to be, and then he had to drop out.
But he wasn't in it.
So but yes.
It wasn't official.
He was connected to the role, and then he had, get your face out of my face.
Get your face out of my face.
It can change.
They have cast, or it sounds like they have cast it, because things can change, I guess, Matt. But they're trying to stick to the whole no-name people casting.
I get why they wouldn't do this, but I'd love to see Emily Blunt with John Krasinski again as Mr. Fantastic and Invisible Woman. But that's okay. They're married in real life. They're real life superheroes together, living their best life, doing all the things.
Can you guys imagine that? Like, Brian, what does your wife do?
Actually, I got divorced last year.
Are you serious?
Way to go, Terrence. to bring it up.
No, it's all good. No, we're good. I realize that, you know, Matt knows this, but you and I aren't super close. But no, she was a mental health worker.
Oh, man. See, now I just feel like a jerk.
No, you didn't know. It's all good.
Man, divorcees, they're the worst, right? I'm so glad I'm not one of them.
I know. There's only one person on here that's not a divorcee. And you're definitely not talking to him right now. So.
Not a divorcee yet.
You know, it's funny, like when I was married, I was connected to Matt through like three or four different marriages, but now that's why I didn't want to be connected to Matt anymore.
That
makes sense. But it would be weird, at least for my wife and I, to like not only to, you know, have a household together, but to work together 24/7, especially when you're in a movie. Like, you're with this person all day. And then, like, come home and to be with that person all day again. Like, there is no separate. That would be really hard.
I don't know, Terrence. I would like that. I enjoy my wife's company. I like to be around my wife. Actually, no, we've
not
worked.
Listening to this. You don't have to say that.
That's true. She really isn't. But that's why I made the divorce hang on to comment. But we actually have worked together a lot in different jobs. Like, even when we first got married, for like the first 5 years, we had the same jobs everywhere that we were. Like, we both worked as servers at Outback for the same summer. We both worked the same church for a little bit. Like, it was nuts. And then eventually she got a different job and I got into this other job. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I guess that chapter is over. But yeah, I enjoyed it. Plus now I work at home and she's stay at home. And so I still see her all the time and I'm around her a lot. So I don't really get bored of her. Not
you know
really.
What? I have struck out on two individuals today. So I did not know Matt was the perfect husband, okay? For me, I love that my wife has her own thing and my thing. And we come together and we're able to talk about different people. I can hear all the tea from her people at work. I don't need to know them. I don't know what she has to say. I'm excited to hear the words that come out of her mouth every single day. So, sorry, I can't. Don't know when people have got divorces. I don't know who loves to work with their wives every single time. I don't know.
See, me and Angie, we're just here together. And so when she complains about the guy that she's here with all day, I'm like, I know who that is.
You know, it's funny, the first time I even mentioned it on the podcast was when we were talking about This Is Us, because that's the show that has all the family drama. And of course, that's the one where my family drama comes up.
That makes me sad. See, I'm trying to be upbeat here, and Brian, you just made me sad. You made me think of my life. And you know what, Brian? Let me tell you right now, there are better days ahead. All right, yeah. There, young sir. Do you ever want to get married again?
Eventually, yeah.
Of course you do. And you know what? When that happens, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't even remember my life before this. You're going to have some little Brians running around, little Brian Jr., little Brianna. Wait, can you have kids? Do you have kids?
I have a son that we adopted a couple of years ago.
come to find out Brian's sterile and you're giving him this pep talk. Like, dang no, it.
Pretty sure that's an option if we decide to exercise it with whoever I'm with. But no, I have a 15-year-old son already.
Get out of here.
Yeah. No, what? We adopted him when he was 12.
How old are you?
34.
What?
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
You did not know coming into this that the person with the oldest child in this chat was Brian.
I did not.
He's already driving, too.
Really?
Yeah.
How old are you, Matt?
I am 34.
He's like 2 weeks younger than me.
That's true.
Oh, man. You
Wait,
still,
Terrence, you, how old are you?
Oh, gosh.
He's almost 40.
You know, usually I would argue that, but in 2 weeks, I will be 40. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, it's happening.
Oh, thanks, happy man. Birthday.
Man, hey, I'm going to re-listen to this episode. And I'm going to hear just how mean I was. I'm going to be like, wow, that did not come off the way I wanted it to at all. Everyone's like, I just want Terrence and Brian to do their own podcast now. I think Matt needs to get out of here.
Well, you're the only one who knows both of our lives.
It's true. Hey, Brian, ask Terrence about some of the Will Smith movies he saw and life events that happened while he was watching them.
Oh, man. That's been bad. It's been so bad, Brian. And especially when Will slapped Chris Rock, I just slapped a kid at a school. It was really just coincidental. Okay, that is not true. That did not. I actually did punch a kid in the face once, but that's a totally different story. We'll say that for another movie.
Well, to make it feel better, I once, me and Matt were in a small group at church once, and Matt. Because Matt was a newlywed at this time. Matt knows where I'm going with this. He was bragging to a seventh grade boy that he gets to have sex.
I wish I could provide greater context for that, but there really isn't. He came at me. He squared up to me. And I'm like, well, I can't do anything physical to this kid, so let me just kill his soul a little bit. I get to have sex and you don't.
How old was he? You said seventh grade?
Something like that. He was a junior high kid.
You're like, look, kid, if you do things right, it's going to take you 20 years. For me, 2 weeks, okay? 2 weeks, it's going down.
Nah, dude, whenever I want. I just ring a little bell. No, we're done.
I should get the time going and tell Angie to listen.
You know what? There should be a whole other just podcast. Three guys talking about life.
It has been 20 minutes since we've referenced Moon Knight in any way. Probably. So let's get into trivia. Let's talk about trivia. Last week we talked about TV Dad. So Movies on a Monday, listeners, this is something we do on TV, guys. It's a lot of fun. We'll ask you a trivia question at the end of the episode. You let us know. So you're inducted into the fold for this one. Woo! So last week we talked about TV guys, or we talked about TV dads who are guys. Brian, why don't you hit us with the trivia?
Yeah, I asked what was the new upcoming TV show that Taj Mowry is going to be on, and he has actually just announced he's going to be on the Muppet Mayhem show, which is a show coming to Disney Plus. Is all about the Electric Mayhem band for the Muppets, and yeah. Taj Mowry is going to be on that show.
Is he taller?
Yeah, he's not. He's an adult now.
No, okay. So, just so everybody knows, if you do not know who Taj Mowry is, he's the guy from Smart Guy, right?
Yep. Smart Guy, Kim Possible, and Full House.
Yeah. Like, he, on those shows, he was always short. It always didn't seem like he was short because he was a kid. It just seemed like he was short because that's who he is. So when I asked this question, honestly, is he a normal-looking guy? I have to look this up now.
His sisters are Tia and Tamara Mowry from Sister Sister.
Yes.
Yep.
That too. All right. So this week's trivia question for you guys, Brian found this out, but I'm going to steal it and ask it because it's been a while since I've asked the question. Sure. So our villain of the show, Ethan Hawke, he has a daughter who she is an actress, and she actually is in another TV show that is rather popular, making new episodes even now. We're going to get some more episodes of that soon. So what actress is his daughter? That was a terrible way to ask that. What is the name of his daughter, or what show is she in, or what character does she play in that show?
Do you know this, Terrence? So
that's the interesting point.
I didn't capture all of that, what you have just said, Matt. Repeat that one more time.
Basically, Ethan Hawke has a daughter, and his daughter is on a show that's on TV right now.
Yeah.
Who's
that? Who? That's the short answer. Ethan Hawke.
The villain of Moon Knight, the guy with the long hair.
Okay.
In real life, his daughter is an actress on a popular show.
Oh, yes. Okay. Nice. Okay. Nice. Why'd you go through that whole thing, Matt? You had a whole like history here.
Nothing I do is right for you, Terrence.
I got lost in all that. So the question is, what show is that?
What show is that, or who is her daughter?
Yeah. Either one.
And then we'll answer that next week.
Yes. Oh, you man. Lose, Terrence. We'll tell you after we sign off here.
No. Can I answer that now? I think I have an idea.
No, because that's the point. Leave it for next week.
I have an answer because I have a bleep sound effect, so I'll just bleep it out.
Okay. Right. I very recall, and I don't know if this is a show, actually. Was she on Fear Street?
No.
Are you sure?
I don't know if she was on that, but that's not the show that we're talking about.
Yeah. Oh. That's the only show that she's been on is the one that we're talking about. And I definitely...
I do know it. I do know this. Yes. Okay. Number one, she was on Fear Street on Netflix because they put it out three
years. You're right. She was
on one of those, but the big one is another Netflix show, and she is one of the budding stars of that show. She came in on season 3, I want to say.
Yep.
And
yep.
Of course that show is, you'll find out next week.
We did it. Well, Well, until next time, I'm Matt. I'm
Terrence.
I'm Brian.
Yeah, you know what? I thought we ended it.
No, that's right. I'll bleep it out. It's fun. I have that, I keep that sound effect ready because I use that pretty often.
And we're reminding you to stay tuned and keep watching.
You got TV now guys. Movies on a Dundee.
Movies on a Nunday.
We'll talk to you next time. Bye.